Graham, come and bring the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
Welcome back.
Hi. Thank you. It's good to see the Zoom people. Welcome. Roland, Terry Lynn are away in Peterborough this week, visiting family and her dad in particular. But Roland's here. Roland's on Zoom, and Terry Lynn. So, Rolando, good to see you. You know, I was thinking about Roland this morning. Just mute him for a minute. But I was thinking about Roland. He's like the Holy Spirit. He has the Holy Spirit. But there was a picture of the Holy Spirit. Because we got some fantastic guys running sound and media this morning. And, you know, they have been trained. And they are good to go when Roland's away. And we love it. But Roland, being Roland, don't listen, Roland, was the first to log in this morning and to sign up and to get it started. And they're doing all the work, but they know Roland's right there in the background. And well, that's like the Holy Spirit. He wants us to do the work, but he's right there checking, keeping an eye, making sure it works properly. So thanks, Roland, for that picture this morning. Thanks, guys, for doing the sound. Thanks, worship team. Amazing presence of the Lord. I loved your sermon last week, Hannah. Hannah was preaching last week, and we sang for an hour and a half. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was powerful. And if she ever got to the slide, she did a couple right at the beginning just to position some of the things which were really powerful. But the title of her talk last week was Power and Praise. And you know, that just says a lot itself. But rather than talking about it, we did it. And we praised and we worshipped for an hour sermon. And it was beautiful. And I was thinking when I saw she was doing that, that ties in. The Lord's really put it on my heart to speak about this topic of presence-driven church. Now, it's a term we've used quite a bit recently. Chuck often puts it in emails. You'll come to presence-driven prayer on Monday night. Join us in the Sunday school room at 9:30 for presence-driven prayer. Here at 10:30 for presence-driven worship and the word. We talk a lot about presence-driven. And just a few weeks ago when I was scheduled in, I thought, that's what I need to talk about. And it's such an important topic. I'm afraid I won't do it justice. You know, I'm going to do the best I can, but listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what God's saying. Listen and read the scriptures that we cover, because it is really, really important for a number of reasons. One, it's the only way to do church. But two, it is the way that we function. And I want to try and explain, perhaps if you're new here or visiting, a little bit about how we function. Chuck's already said it. Chuck's introduction this morning was so important as we came together. He said, don't miss the presence. Prepare your hearts. That were the first words Chuck exhorted us to do. Prepare your hearts. Don't miss his presence. Presence-driven church is so important. Now, we use the phrase a lot, as I said. But what does it mean? What does it mean to us? We use lots of phrases, we use lots of words, and we don't really know what they mean. It just sounds good. But what does it mean? And, you know, this is the expected conclusion. You know, I like to start up front. They call it the bluff. You know, bottom line up front. So it tries to keep the speaker honest. But this is where I expect to go. Subject to the presence-driven Holy Spirit preaching. God's presence is central and not optional. Worship is encounter-focused, not performance-driven. See, because we function this way, you're relating. This is what we are. This is what we do. Holy Spirit activity leads us. Transformation is the measure of fruit. Transformation in our lives in particular. God's presence extends into our daily lives. And again, Chuck just said that during the announcements. You know, we have a few hours together on a Sunday morning. And it's not always every week. But the rest of the week is presence driven as well. And we'll touch on some of that as we go. We don't do things to experience God's presence. We do things because of God's presence. And things in that sentence are spiritual things, you know, whether it's speaking to somebody about the Lord, whether it's praying for a need, whether it's helping somebody, whether it's prophesying. Whether, you know, we do these things not to experience his presence, but because of his presence. It's him in our lives that triggers these things for us. There's a phrase that really bugs me, and nobody here has ever said it, so it was another church I heard this. We sometimes say it, guilty as charged, but we sometimes say, God showed up. What a horrible phrase. You know, isn't God showed up? Like he's doing me a favor. Well, I was so good, God showed up. No. That's not what it's about. It should be more like God saying, they showed up. I was present and they showed up. That's what I care about. Not that God showed up. Like, oh, well, that was a nice time. God showed up this week. No, God is here every time we come together. It's promised in Scripture. It's not to get. Because we have. Yeah, we already have. God wants to be with us. Scripture is full of his activities to have a close relationship with his people. How he restores that relationship when sin and disobedience come in. Yeah, God created us in his image, to be in continual relationship. It's right there. If you only get to read the first one or two chapters of the book, you get that bit. Now, we all have these great, I'm going to read through, and we kind of like the gym membership, you know, we give up. But God created us in his image for continual relationship, and we see that. But as we read through Scripture, you know, humankind, the humans he created, the people that grew out of those first two, the families, kept moving away from God, kept being disobedient, kept doing the things that broke that relationship. And amazingly, God keeps finding a way to restore the relationship. And then we go and break it again. And then he restores it again. This year, Judith and I, you know, the last few years, we've finally got to the habit of reading through the Bible. You know, we all say, oh, I'm going to do it this year, and then don't quite make it. But we last few years, we've been using the Nikki Gumbel. I've mentioned it a few times. So if you want to read through the Bible, you've never done it before. I was going to ask, you know, how many people have done it, but don't put your hands up. If you've never read through the Bible in a year, then go find the Nikki Gumbel Bible in 1 year. It's excellent. It really walks you through it. It's got some teaching with it. Helps you. We've done that a few times. But this year we did something different. And I think Judith discovered it. But you all know of the Bible Project. They're the ones that do those great little videos about the book of the Bible and what it means and the overview and all that. Well, we actually discovered they do a whole Bible reading for the year, and we've been working through that, and it's amazing what we've been learning, and it ties in with a lot of what we're doing, God's presence in history, And I don't have time to go into it. I mean, it's a whole series, four or five sermons just to touch on this. But you know a lot of this, so try and put this in perspective. You know, God's presence was there in the very beginning. He was in the garden. He was walking with them. We know that. It doesn't specifically say that, but later it says he was walking in the garden looking for them when they had sinned and they were ashamed. So that presumably means he'd always walked with them, and it was his habit to walk with them and to be with them. His presence was there at the very beginning. And man sinned, disobeyed God, followed the tricks of Satan, and we all know that story. And it didn't get any better. You know, their sons had some problems, and then you read through the generations, it got worse, and it got worse. And then eventually we get to the tabernacle. God says, I've got to restore this relationship. And he talks to Moses all about the tabernacle. And that's where we've been in the last week or so, going through the Exodus and Leviticus. And the Bible Project just brings this alive in many ways, along with their little videos that they make. Often on a day there's a video, and they're teaching different things about these relationships and how God sees it broken, and then he restores. And then he puts in place these ways of sacrifice, these pictures. And so the tabernacle, which was really a temporary thing, you know, they could put it up, take it down, move it around as they went along. After a while, they got into trouble again. And they started disobeying God, and they moved away from God and that deep relationship. And then God came and said, we need to build the temple. And remember the tabernacle? That was where God inhabited. That's where he came. In Exodus, we read about the cloud. We read about the light coming, the pillar of fire, rather. And the presence of God was there. And then it moved to the temple. And again, the plan was well described to David, but Solomon had to build it. And Solomon built the temple. And that was much more permanent. It was solid until it was destroyed. But the temple was a solid thing compared to the tabernacle. God was trying to put in place another location where he could walk with his people, where he could connect with them. And of course, that failed after a while, and they moved away from that. The picture was still there, and there's still some of it. But then eventually, Jesus was the presence that was sent. Jesus, he was perfect. So we've been through these. It was perfect in the beginning, but man sinned. Then there's these temporary and more permanent structures where God could reside to meet with people, but he wasn't everywhere. Then Jesus came to make it available for everybody. And then after Jesus, his death, resurrection, he sent the Holy Spirit. And now God's presence currently is in the church. And that's continual right now. And to come, we have all sorts of ideas what it might look like. If you describe it to me, I'll say you're probably wrong. I have no idea what heaven's going to look like. But one day we will be in the eternal presence of God, in the new city where there is no light because God is the light. And there will be worshiping 24/7 around the throne. That's the presence yet to come. That's the eternal presence. We're currently in that church presence, and we need to understand, what does that mean, and how do I live through it? So very briefly, the ins and outs, the restoration of God's presence through the scripture. And as I say, there's so much in there. It could be a whole series in itself. So how should WOCC function as a presence-driven church? If we're not functioning from the presence of God, then we're probably operating in our own strength. Yeah. People are quite good. There's leaders, there's people that have vision, there's people that have authority, there's people that stand up. And you know, we see it all over the world. There's organizations that are led very strongly by people. But we don't want a church that's led by people. We want a church that's led by the presence of God. And that's our desire here in this church. You know, one of the famous verses that often gets quoted when we talk about the presence of God was Moses in Exodus 33:15 and 16, where he said, "Then Moses said to him, God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" It's his presence that distinguishes his people. And as Moses says, and we've often quoted it here, and we've got to get to that point, well, saying it is one thing, but living it is another. If your presence doesn't go with us, Lord, we don't want to go. That's the reality of it. And for Moses, the presence of God was the definition of success. He would only achieve what God is asking him to do if his presence was there. Psalm 127, 1 and 2. Another well-known, everyone quotes this verse. You know, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. This psalm was probably written by Solomon. It's a little uncertain, but it's most likely. It either says for Solomon or by Solomon at the beginning. So it's probably written, but you know Solomon. He's the guy that wrote all about Ecclesiastes. I'm grateful for a spell checker when I wrote that down. And you know, in Ecclesiastes, we read a lot about vanity, vanity, all is vanity. He understood vain things that people do, vain things that he tried to do. And right here in this psalm, if he wrote it, he's probably still thinking the same thing. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. It's a vain thing to do it in our own strength. First, it's vain to think we can do it. And second, it's vain to think it will be successful. So we need the presence of God in this place. So do everything to pursue his presence. Do not take his presence for granted. Review how your actions reflect the expectation of his presence. And when you came here this morning, what was your expectation of God's presence? Learn to practice his presence. There's the famous book that went around quite a bit a while ago, often gets mentioned. You know, Brother Lawrence wrote a book, Practicing the Presence, and he talks about his life and how he lived. Even doing the dishes was in the presence of the Lord. And you maybe read it. But it's all about how do we practice the presence? Not just here on a Sunday morning, but what about tomorrow? What about Wednesday night? What about Saturday morning? You know, all these different times. There's a whole week of hours where we need to be practicing his presence. And what does that really look like? So let's go through a few of the practical things, what presence-driven means, with some Bible verses and some practical application. Again, very briefly, because we don't have a lot of time, but God's presence is central not optional. God's presence is central, not optional. One more time, just in case. God's presence is central, not got it. There is a quiz. A presence-driven church believes that God's nearness is essential to identity and mission. And we saw that Moses, it was essential to him. Unless you go with me. The psalmist, or Solomon, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. You know, his presence is essential. And whatever we do here, as we come together, his presence is essential. And we aim to start there, even 9:30. Come 9:30, expecting his presence, and pray for the essential presence of the Holy Spirit of the Lord as we come together. Then as people come in, and when I spoke back in just for Christmas in November, you know, we talked a little bit about being ready, being prepared. God is looking for churches that represent what he's doing so that he can send people there to find salvation. If we want people to be coming here to find the Lord, we need to be living what the Lord has given us. His presence must be here. Thanks, Joshua, for sharing. Yeah, it so encouraged me. And Chuck and the others. You know, it's so encouraging. People come in, and when they say, we felt the presence, we felt the welcome. You know, we're doing something right, people. Let's keep it up. Let's keep pushing in. Let's not give up, because we want the Lord to send the unsaved here. We want the Lord to wake people up in the night and say, you've got to get to West Ottawa Community Church because I'm going to meet you there. And not they show up and we're still wandering around Tim Hortons buying our coffee. Sorry, was that too harsh? I might get fired. I definitely won't get paid. Number two, and I jumped ahead a little bit on this verse. So this is where this verse will come in now. Worship is encounter focused, not performance driven. And we say that a lot here, and I love our worship teams. We got some very talented, very gifted, very beautiful people that lead us in the presence of the Lord. Worship teams are all about them entering into a place of worship before the Lord themselves. And it's such a beautiful thing that we want to join them. Yeah, we're sucked in to that presence because of their worship. It's not performance. It's sad where a lot of the current methods of worship are based on how the stage is set up, what kind of lighting you've got, is the sound the right frequency. You know, it's all good stuff, don't get me wrong. However, it's not what it's about. That helps us enter in, and we've been through that. Look back through church history. You know, sometimes they built great big cathedrals with stained glass windows and high ceilings because it helped people focus on the grandeur and the greatness of God. But that's not what it's about. That brings us into the presence. And if the presence isn't there, we're just looking at a great building or a wonderful stage or, you know, some really nicely dressed musicians. What we want is encounter-focused. And every week we are seeing that here and we experience that here. So worship teams, those are part of leading us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's all about worship. Got there. In spirit and truth. John 4:23-24 tells us, yet a time is coming. This is Jesus. He's talking to that woman at the well. You know, there's a whole conversation going on. She's a Samaritan. He's the Lord of Lords. And he's kind of talking about, well, where do we worship? Is it on this mountain, that mountain? And Jesus says, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth, Spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. Not performance, worship in spirit, worship in truth. God is spirit, worshiping God, worship in spirit. His worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. He said that twice, so it must have been important. Not encounter-focused, but performance-driven. God's glory fills the temple as worship arises. Now, going back to the temple, in 2 Chronicles 5:13 to 14, and this represents or repeats what was also happened in the tabernacle, you know, with the cloud coming, and Moses couldn't go in because of the cloud and the presence of God. Then in Chronicles, we read about the temple. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." We still sing that today in various ways, various times. It's a consistent. The Psalms are full of it. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. The presence filled, the glory filled the temple. You know, sometimes, and really we wish it was more often, but sometimes we feel the presence so much when we're worshiping here, we have to be on our knees or laying down. Last week, Hannah said, take your shoes off. This is a holy place. And people were down on their face because of the presence. There's times when that's the only thing we do. There's times when we need to be doing other things. It's not always like that. But it's the presence. We want the glory of the Lord to fill the temple of God. In presence-driven churches, worship is often marked by reverence, expectancy, and responsiveness to the Holy Spirit. We don't come together to sing songs. I've said this before, when we were living in Australia for a couple of years, we were leaving, it was a multi-service church that we became part of, and we were leaving the service, and the next group of people were going in for the second service, and I heard someone say, "Oh good, we're not late, they're still singing." You know, that's not worship. That hurt to hear that, because that just singing was the worshipping the presence of God that they'd come to join. We don't come here to just sing. We want to be here at the very moment, and this morning, you know, the very first song, we were in his presence. We were worshipping Jesus. We declared his greatness, who he was. We want to be there as soon as we do that, because it's filling the temple with the glory of God. Number three, the Holy Spirit actively leads. You know, rather than rigid structures, space is made for the Spirit's guidance. And you know, as we lead the congregation here, and as people have input to it, we go by what the Holy Spirit is saying. Again, Chuck's announcement about prayer and fasting this week. Let's listen. Why is the Holy Spirit saying? We don't want to, you know, well, we're on our 5-year plan. This is year 3 and we're going to do this year. I can't say that. Done that too many times and was wrong. What we want to do is what we see here in Acts 13, verse 2, while they were worshiping, back there in the presence, declaring the greatness of God, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Fasting is giving something up so you can spend more time to the Lord. The Holy Spirit said, And we know this, it doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit is saying. At this time he was saying, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. He was directing the next steps in their ministry. And after they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and obeyed the Spirit. They sent them out. So here, and a presence-driven church wants to be led by the Holy Spirit. Through worship, through prayer, through fasting, we hear what Holy Spirit is saying to us. It's not just left to leaders, elders. Everybody can hear. It doesn't say one of them. You know, as they set apart, as they were all worshiping together, the Holy Spirit said, it wasn't to necessarily one specific person. It could be multiple, and often the confirmation is useful. So as we pray, as we fast, as we worship, as we read the word, listen to the Holy Spirit. Write it down. If you have that sense, this is what God's saying, and I believe it's for this church. Write it down and send it to you know, info at WCC or to Chuck or to me. Any, you know, send it to someone where it can get into a bigger pot, and we can say, look, this lines up. This is what God's saying to us now. We're excited about 2026. Some great things are going to happen. The only thing is, I can't tell you what they are yet. But I can tell you some great things are going to happen. And there is a sense of where the Lord's taken us, but we need confirmation. We need to hear what's the Holy Spirit saying to us. So please, don't just brush off these times when you're asked to pray and to seek and to respond. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Romans 8 verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. It's right there in Scripture. You know, do you want to be a child of God? Well, then you need to be led by Him. If you're being led by Him, then you are a child of God. You know, look at it however you like, but there's a tight relationship between being led and being a child. And that's really important. We are children. We all believe that. And we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So as the Spirit comes in and it leads us, 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Leadership is practiced as discernment, not management. There are lots of great organizations are led by visionaries and management. Someone has a vision, this is what we're going to do, and their management team makes it happen. Great in lots of places, but not great in the church. We don't want to manage the Holy Spirit. We want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. We want to practice discernment from the Holy Spirit. And we want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit as He directs us. Number four, transformation is the measure of fruit. Transformation is the measure. Success is measured by changed lives, not attendance or production quality. Production quality is good. We like that. You know, it's not good to try and sing off key. It's not good if the lights don't work. However, that's not what drives us. And transform lives are why we come together. And there's all sorts of levels of transformation. It might just be this morning, and I'm believing this is true, but all of us, as we worship the Lord, as we sang something like, I surrender all. As we sang, worthy, worthy, something changed in your life. Did something change? I hope it did. I mean, I was really aware, standing there singing, I surrender all. I was saying, Lord, can I really do that? What's that really mean? There's a line in there, I think something like, I give up the pleasures of the world. You know, what's that mean? Can I really do that? It's easy to say, really easy to sing, if I don't think about what I'm saying or doing. So transformation is what we're after. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled faces, it's been talking earlier about Moses and having to veil his face after coming down from the mountain, the glory of the Lord. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being transformed as we spend time in his presence. We must believe that. Otherwise, why are we there? It's a good sing song, but if we're not being transformed by his presence, if we're not being empowered by his presence, if we're not being sent out by his presence, then the fruit is missing. And of course, the fruit, we often, and we all know this, the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of God's work. And we see in our lives these things: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Wow. Wow. Isn't the Bible so practical? It's worth reading. Just to find out how to live. And then people recognize that they've been with Jesus. Something changed in their lives. Peter and John had been with Jesus and something changed. They were transformed. Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note. These men had been with Jesus. They'd been in the presence. If we're not a presence-driven church, then we won't be noticed as people that have been with Jesus. And number five, God's presence extends beyond the gathering, beyond Sunday morning. We've said this already. The church carries God's presence into homes, into workplaces, into communities, into stores, into wherever you're going to go. You are a carrier of God's presence. The believers, you, us, are God's temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Well, that's an important verse. We often talk about I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore I must look after my body and mustn't do things that hurt my body and so on. That's true, but this is talking in the plural, isn't it, Hannah? And you know, use yourselves in the Canadian pluralization of you. The congregation is the temple. We are the temple. God is present here in his temple because we are together. And we need to keep coming together. And God's presence, as we take that through into life, as we keep meeting together, what's your score of warm climate community throughout the week? 7 of 7 yet? I mean, Hannah's up to 9 of 7. Not 7 of 9, that's something else. 9 of 7. Anyway. Matthew 28:20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you. I am with you always to the very end of the age. It doesn't say I'm only there Sunday mornings. It says I'm there with you always, and that's all times and all places. I think it's you know, time-based, but it's also location-based. So the Lord is with me on a Wednesday in Calm Place, not just on a Sunday in Cup. And we need to be aware of that presence. We are a presence-driven church. The church is not a building. The church is not just one service on a Sunday. The church is a community living and sharing together. And we need to live and share together, and we need to encourage one another, Hebrews 10:25, even more as we see the day coming. Don't give up meeting together. These are the reasons why we don't give up meeting together. Hebrews 10 tells us to not do it. Well, there's a lot of good reasons. We need each other. We need to carry the presence. We encourage the presence in each one of us as we meet together. When we meet on a Wednesday night in Almont for home group, we build a temple and the presence of God is there. When we meet on Monday night for prayer here, we build a temple and the presence of the Lord is there. The glory of God comes. So take the presence of this church into your daily lives. And of course, Acts 2:46-47, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. So they're in both places. They're in the temple and they're also in their homes. And they broke bread together and they shared together. And they daily, they're encouraging each other with glad and sincere hearts. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Wow. We don't particularly enjoy the favor of the people these days. Maybe it's because they don't see the presence of the Lord in us, thinking aloud. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. How would you like 365 and a quarter salvations in a year? That would be nice. That's the minimum if it's daily. Wow. Here's a quick overview of some of the things we've been touching on just to wrap it up. Presence-driven versus program-driven churches. You know, what is God doing and saying versus what are we running this week? All the time I've been part of this church, which is a while now, we've talked about we're not program-driven. People say, well, what programs do you have for the kids? What programs do you have for this? Well, programs are ways of putting things logically together, and it makes sense. And kind of, well, we do have programs, but we're not program-based. We're presence-based. And things will change. And it's not, let's run a program because that's the right thing to do. No, what's God telling us to do, and we'll go and do that. Those who wait on the Lord versus they honor me with their lips. Discernment, prayer, listening is the leadership style versus planning, control, and predictability. These are some of the comparisons between presence-driven and program-driven. Measure of success, transformed lives. Oh, yeah, missed one, sorry. And worship leaders see that. Worship, encounter-oriented, responsive worship versus time-boxed, performance-oriented. You know, some churches have the big clock up. And when it's in the negative, you know you've finished your worship set. Preachers never watch it. So there's a couple more there you can see, and we've touched on all of them. So there's a quick summary there just to give us some idea of the difference. Now, we're not perfect, but we aim and we move towards the presence-driven church versus the program or any other type of church. Without the presence of the Lord, as Moses said, then who will know what we're doing? This mindset shapes worship, leadership decisions, ministry practices, ministry priorities. It's the DNA of WOCC. And it's wonderful to see Ken Lewis here because hopefully they're nodding and saying, yes, it is. you know, it's always been the heart. And I've learned this from Ken and Lewis and walking with them over the years, that we want to do what the Lord is doing. There's a great book by the Blackabies, Richard Blackaby, Henry Blackaby, called Spiritual Experiencing God. They wrote another one called Spiritual Leadership, which is good as well, but Experiencing God. And in that, they really emphasize, worth reading if you haven't seen it, because again, it's a way we like to talk about functioning, and that is, you look to see what the Lord is doing, and you go and join him. We don't invent a program and ask God to support it. Doesn't usually work that way. So we're looking, what is the Lord doing? And back to pray this week. What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord doing? Because we want to join him in that and be successful rather than compete against him and do our own programs. In his presence is not the same as presence driven either. We can be in his presence, but presence driven, and I like the little hyphen in there, you know, presence driven means we are controlled in a good way, but controlled by his presence and not just looking for the fun of his presence. There is a difference. Presence driven gifts. If you have gifts, and you do, everyone has gifts, it says so in the Bible. If you have gifts of the Holy Spirit, then make sure they're exercised in his presence. Presence-driven gifts, presence-driven fruit. We talked about some of that already. So that's, did we get to the conclusion, hopefully? You know, God's presence is central, not optional. Worship is encounter-focused, not performance. Hannah, come back. Let's continue and conclude our formal time together in the presence of worship. Holy Spirit activity leads us. Transformation is the measure of fruit. And God's presence extends into our daily lives, not just Sunday mornings. Let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. My hope is that you're having thoughts of, wow, I should be doing this. This is what God wants me to change. This is where I'm being encouraged by the Lord. I want you all to just take a moment to listen. Reflect on what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. It's not my words, it's what you hear. It's what you hear and what you respond to from God. Start talking to him. Because if he's present, then he wants to have a conversation. There's nothing worse than being in a room and people talk as if you're not there. We do that to God all the time. Talk to him. Thank you, Lord. It's your presence, Lord, that we so desire. It's your presence, Lord, that so blesses us and encourages us. And we pray now that we would move deeper into your presence. We would move closer to your presence. Holy Spirit, come in power and authority. Come and touch our lives. Come and transform us by your presence, that we might be the church that you want us to be. Lord, I pray that each one of us, including myself, will go into this week looking for those places where we can be in your presence, driven by your presence, where we can bring transformation because we've been with Jesus. I pray, Lord, your blessing and your favor on everyone that's here, that each would know your power and your authority, because we pray it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.